Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seed, a broken date, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad taste, bad lie, bad dude, bad bread, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrella Palatia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny likes to steal my gummy bears when she's drinking too much wine. In New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags to Richard Travis, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. But I'm a friend to come around flat to fight the party. Oh, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess. This town's a tad in my brain. Splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be shake it. Ooh. What's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High tonight. Right out of the gates, I'll tell you, the Lakers are blowing out the Blazers, and they're already up 2-1 in the series, and this game is just out of control. 56-35, they came out 15-0, and then if you add in, I just want to see what it is. I have to look because I just can't even believe what I'm watching, just so we're clear. The Lakers have 16 free throws already in the game. Davis already in the game has 16, 3-3 with two blocks and a steal. LeBron's got 15, 2-5. Pope's got 10. He's already hit two threes. James has hit two threes. Kuzma's hit two threes. Morris hit a three. Green hit a three. Green's first basket he's made since grade school. But this game, Carver High, looks like it's over already. I mean, they're killing them, and they play great defense. And I just don't see where is this 20-point comeback going to come from? Where? They've gotten no calls. I mean, we got a lot going on tonight on the bench.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so 60 to 39. Just remember that every time I basically give you an update on that game, it's still a 21-point game. You understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter how many threes they hit. It doesn't matter if they get a call, a steal. Every one of those things has happened, and they still are down 21. Because the Lakers can move the ball at will and shoot threes, and they've found their stroke, right? They've obviously found their stroke tonight from downtown. Even Green hit one. So they're good to go. I mean, LeBron's doing whatever he wants. He had a ball once down by his shoelaces, and he was just like waiting for the shot clock to go down. It got down to 3-2-1, and then he pulled up from 30 and stroked it. That was one of his two threes with a guy right in his face. You know how he does that one? He'll just stand there, and then he'll just chuck and bury it. And it was like a line drive. Boom, down it went. And then Kuzma's hitting. Green's hitting. Morris hit one. I mean, they're all hitting. So you're not beating them. I don't know how you make up 21 points. I just don't know how you do it with a team that can score as much as they can score and as much defense as they play. They don't allow easy shots, right? So I heard Weber and Anderson saying they need to get some easy looks. I'm like, where do you get those? Down at the Walmart? Where do you, can you buy those 2-for-1? Like, I mean, honestly, calm down. So, listen, and the free throw disparity wasn't a problem for me at all. That wasn't what got me about the game. I thought the reason Stotts was so mad was fairly simple. Dame twice got fouled shooting, and they called both of them before the shot. They said he was on the floor still before the shot. So one of the threes, he got fouled in the act of shooting a three, and they called it before the act. And then he drove on the wing and got fouled and shot it and got, they said the ball was, the call was before he left the ground. And both times it was wrong. I mean, it was embarrassing how wrong they were. And so Stotts was losing his mind. I can't even believe he didn't get teched up because he was losing it on the refs. Melo got fouled going in by Davis on a layup. He jumped up in the air. Davis jumped up in the air. They both smashed into each other. No call. And Melo erupted on the ref. I can't believe he didn't get a tech. The next time down, Melo drove and got a charge because he was so mad at the refs. So every single call has gone LA's way. Bottom line, I have no rooting interest in this game. I have no rooting interest. I could care less about either team. So I'm just telling it like I see it. And so they got Whiteside on a flagrant elbow to Davis's throat and collarbone, where he did the, if you're on YouTube right now, he did the, you know, the full elbow swing. When he got the ball, he tried to go around in the paint and do a move around him, and it hit him in the throat. Two and the ball. Of course, he made both. Boom, boom, and the ball, and another bucket. So everything, you name it, it's all gone wrong for the Blazers tonight against the Lakers. So that's a done deal. I'll keel over if they come back in this game while we're sitting here doing the show. Will you, Carver Hyde, that they'll come back 21 down, whatever it is? You think they got it in? Now it's 62-44. So now they got it to 18. What did they get it down to, the lowest point?
I mean, you really can't start considering anything until they get it to 10, right? 10 is where you would have to start to think that they're back in the game. And then you're really talking about, you know, we're talking about the spread too, obviously. And I don't know. They look so bad. But the NBA is such a game of runs. I mean, in the third quarter, they could get themselves a little 10-12-0 run, and suddenly they're down 10 or 8. You know, that could happen quickly. But, man, they look awful right now. They just look awful.
So I even think that my feeling is they could even get it to 10 and still not get closer than 8. You know what I mean? Like, get it to 10 and still not get any lower. Maybe one more bucket. Yeah, I'll believe it. I will believe it when I see it. Because, you know, let's face facts. I mean, it's not like they're playing the Magic over here. I mean, honestly, they're playing the Lakers. You know what I mean? The Lakers are, you know, for real. There's no denying they're the number one seed, are they not? So you don't get that because you're apples and oranges, okay? So I think they got it in control. We'll see if they blow it. I mean, they basically have to blow this game. This game was over when it was 15-0, folks. In my opinion, you cannot start a game against Anthony Davis down 15-0 and expect to ever recover from that. You cannot do that. I played in a championship game one night, and there was this kid that he plays pro in Germany, right? So it was his off season, and he was home. And he was playing in New York, right? So here comes the guy. They get him to play on this team. He was a ringer. And he plays pro, right? He's a shooting guard. So they tip the ball off at the start of the game, and they get literally the guy that's jumping the ball 6'9", 280 against Mafia 6'5", 240. Boom, they win the tip. Guy grabs the ball, and he literally pulls up from 40. And he hit a dagger from 40 feet, like one of them, literally like one of them Dame half court shots. He like got the ball right off the half court tip off, and he stepped up and shot it like right when he got the ball. He just turned around from like 40 feet out and he chucked it, and it was all net. And I just looked over at my my point guard killer, and I went, it's going to be a long night. It's just going to be a long night. It's over. Some guy hits a 40-footer to start the game, you're in big trouble. I don't care who you are. And then Davis comes out. He's got 12 points in the first 10 minutes. And he went to the line several times. And he got the call on the Whiteside elbow, which was, you know, give him the Oscar. I won't deny whatever his name is, Whiteside threw the elbow. But it was not. It was that power move in the lane with the elbows. When you get the ball and you grind, you get around the guy, you hook around him. When he hooked around him, he didn't really hook around him. He hooked him right in the throat. So it is what it is. So I wanted to say before I forget that on this show, much like the Coast to Coast today, I want to dedicate the show to our good friend Gambling Kenny Johnson, who died on Saturday night in Las Vegas of pancreatic cancer. Kenny was a really good friend of ours, and he was just the coolest dude ever. And Carver High became good friends with him over the last, 7 years, something like that. And I've known Kenny for 30 plus years, and he's just the most fun ever. This guy is just fun in a like a basket of fun. He's a basket. He's a bundle of fun. And he's a beer drinking, blackjack playing, make fun of people living mother for other. I mean, this guy made fun of people as good as anyone ever. We used to just go out in Vegas, Carver High, me and him, and make fun of people for like 5 hours. That's all we did. And we would literally make fun of thousands of people at a time. And I mean to tell you, it was quality stuff. I could have made a fortune. If I would have taped the dinners and the drinking and the smoking and the making fun of people that we did with that guy, honestly, Carver High, I'd be rich. I could sell it I could do stand-up with it. I could just play it in a comedy club and people would laugh.
We had a lot of really fun times with Gambling Kenny, and I used to love talking to him. You know, we'd be in Vegas for Super Bowl week, and we'd go out after the show, and wasn't just playing blackjack with him, which was awesome, and it was always such a laugh playing blackjack with him. But, you know, I just like talking to him about, you know, like the props that week, because Kenny was one of these old school Vegas guys that would go down to the casino every day. You know, he always was looking for the edges. He was looking for the bets. He was all, you know, he was just old school Vegas, constantly playing sports betting, and I'd love chatting with him about it. Gambling Kenny was the man. There's just no doubt about it.
Huge loss in the world, losing that guy. Had twins in 10th grade, going into 11th, both honor students, a boy and a girl, twins. No one to take care of him now. My buddy's going to do it. Just horrible news.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Carver High's calling a hotel right now, trying to get a hold of Rick Haro, who's on the road somewhere in a hotel. And he called on his cell phone, and it sucked so bad that we were like, we got to call you on the landline. And he's like, call the hotel. So Carver High is calling the hotel and dealing with that issue as we speak. So anyway, I thought it was going to be funnier than that, because he was actually saying that we were going to hear him talking to the lady at the hotel, and that he couldn't. You gave up on that plan?
Yeah, I'm working on a new plan, because it's hard to do that while you're on the air, because then they're going to hear you talking. I'm not going to be able to talk to the hotel people. So it's all good. I'll get it worked out for you right now.
All right, so I just wanted to say, lastly, not to bum anybody out, but so my buddy died, and he was, you know, the greatest guy, 65. He had about 10 years on me. I knew him for, like, my whole adult life. And I met him in around, I don't know, when I was, like, 21, 22 years old, something like that. Is that about right? I've known him for about 33 years, something like that. So anyway, he had two kids, twins, that are just straight A students in Las Vegas at this high school. And they're both honors. Like, so they got academic rides, the whole deal, to go to college. And all they have to do is finish high school, and they got a, I think, free ride, both of them, to college. And I guess several different places have offered them, you know, scholarships or whatever. So that's great or whatever. But there's no, I'm just going to cut to the chase. There's no mother involved. The, now I got people calling me. Can you imagine? Now the phone's ringing. It's like my son's friends looking for my son. Like, call, can you imagine, like, having the Stones to call me up and ask me where the kid is that I never see ever? Like, where my son, God only knows where he is. He's probably in Las Vegas. So anyway, where was I? The kids, there's no one. Like, so the grandparents are in a home for Alzheimer's people, right? And they're both really old. They're like 95, 96 years old. And so these kids, and this is nobody's business, but it's just really heartbreaking to me. Carver High knows it's true, so I'm going to just tell the truth. So they there's no one, right? So my buddy is, like, stepping up, and they obviously have been friends for 40 years, and he's, like, offered to take these kids in and let them live there for 2 years while they finish high school and then go to college, right? They're going to go off to college. Apparently. So they had obviously all kinds of life insurance and money and a home to sell and things like this. So the kids are going to be okay fiscally, not mentally. But I just feel horrible for them. And I feel They're in 11th grade and they're twins and they are just the perfect kid. Like, this guy raised them himself and he's just the greatest father. The guy worked his ass off like 6 days a week. He was a head waiter at this really cool place at the M called Anthony's. And he died. And he died of pancreatic cancer. And he was just one of our best friends ever. And to have that happen. And he got it 3 weeks ago. And they told him he had like 4 months to live. And he lasted 3 weeks. And he was gone. And so he died Saturday night and left these two kids. And now I think they're going to move in with my buddy and finish school. So it's just a really horrible, horrific, disastrous story. And I mean to tell you how much it kills me, because my other buddy this year died, a skiing accident, right? John Boy Inc. And he was 52 years old, whatever he was. And he died on vacation with his family skiing. He wrecked skiing into a snowplow machine in like a blizzard or something in the dark and broke his neck and died. Right on the spot. I went to that funeral like my first day. Wasn't that like my first week on a job, Carver High? I had to go to some funeral.
Yeah, first couple of weeks we were here, yeah.
Oh my God. How many of my friends are going to die? Like, it's just the worst. Like, I can't even believe this stuff's happening to me. All right. So anyway, I'm dedicating the show tonight to Gambling Kenny. Is that a more positive way of looking at it? I mean, I can't even make these stories up. Like, this stuff's real. It's like crazy. Life is crazy. And I'm going to miss them dearly. Both of my two of my dearest friends in life gone in the same year. It's crazy. So I guess I'm really getting old when all my friends are dying. But they shouldn't be dying when they're 52 and 65 years old, as far as I'm concerned. I hate cancer. I stand up to cancer. Pharrell, you cancer. All right. How's that sound? Rick Haro is our sports business and legal insider. If we have to do two of them tonight, we will. I'm sorry. I was rambling on and on. What's that, Carver High? I will do too. It's my fault. Blame me for everything, which I'm accustomed to anyway. Rick Haro is our sports business legal insider from Harvard on the bench and on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm sorry for your loss, man. My parents died of cancer, respectively, and it's a tragic disease, man. You got to figure out how to get it cured, but you know, move on, right?
Well, it's horrible. The guy got pancreatic cancer, and 3 weeks later, he was dead. I mean, like, you can't even, like, yeah. You can't even draw it up in a movie that way. Like, he got really sick really fast, and then they told him he had it, and they said he was doomed, and he was, and that was it. And it was the 3 weeks. You know, it's weird. My mom got breast cancer in April and died in June. I saw the same thing happen to her. It was too late. Like, she had a backache. She's like, my back's killing me. She went in. They're like, you're loaded with breast cancer. You're doomed, boom, dead. A month and a half later, I was like, what? And I was a kid, so it was awful. But I've been around it a lot. My sister got it. I just, you know, as you know, Rick, I'm very quick, like golfing, playing basketballs, around the back, cutting in the on the baseline, scoring, finger rolls, very quick. I've been dodging it like the cancer, the machete is out and getting all my friends, killing my mother, my sister. I'm like, I'm dodging it over here, Rick.
Yeah, you just got to, you know, you got to pray and hope you're lucky, and good health is the most important thing in life. I've realized that now that I'm getting up there too. We're all getting up there, right? We're getting older, and life is more precious. So, you know, I value staying up at 10:30 at night to be able to talk to you every Monday night. How's that sound?
That's very, very true. And it's a beautiful thing that you and I are still breathing. Thank God for that. Did I tell you, I golfed? You know, I don't know if I told you or not. Today, I thought I did. I went golfing Sunday again.
Well, I was driving maybe 20 minutes from you, so I should have called you, because I was in Washington. Now I'm up in Boston. And I ended up being in Old Saybrook, Connecticut today. But I was driving all day. I could have just as easily
for
4 hours.
When are you going back? Like, are you? I'm going Wednesday morning too.
Oh, this Wednesday? No, I'm staying up in Maine. Then I'm going back next week. Hopefully, I'll see some of our friends close.
Meaning my bosses
next week. There you go. Yeah. That, there you go. Thank you. Hopefully that happens next week. And then I've got a couple other meetings next week in New York with some commissioners of leagues, and then down to Florida, but stopping in D.C. You know, these trips are cool. I did two of these in the summer. And, you know, you stay safe. You go in the car You spray everybody that comes near you. You stay in safe hotels. You stay off of planes. And I feel real safe. Wearing masks everywhere, obviously. Really important.
Listen, so anyway, real quickly, we played golf together, and you played well. I hit some really nice shots, but overall, I was terrible. But I had some nice shots. I hit some big balls. But I never really got into scoring or anything like that or having any kind of like game. But I went out again Sunday, and I played a lot easier golf course, right, than that field club. And I played a really good public course in Jersey that a lot of people like. I played it, and I went 4 over on the front and 6 on the back and had a 82. So, and that was legit. So I was hitting the ball really well. And you know what I did? I just stopped hitting that stupid ass driver. I just put that thing right in the car. And then I took the 3-wood right out of my bag as well. Cause the driving has become a problem for me. I don't know where it's going to go, but then I started hitting that hybrid off the tee, and I can hit the hybrid about 210. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to hit this right out into the fairway, and I'm going to go up and I'm going to hit a big iron, a 5 or a 6. You know how high I hit it and how far I hit it. So I was parring holes left and right, and I just stopped using that stupid ass, like it reminded me of a Cadillac Eldorado the size of my driver. That thing is so enormous. And all these drivers these people use with these gigantic heads on them, I'm done with that BS. I'm playing irons and hybrids, and I'm just hitting it straight and high and long, and I'm scoring.
Watch how good you're going to be because of that. So a lot of people say that. Very few people do it. But, you know, you have the athletic chops. Do you remember the shot that we memorialized? I'm sure you sent it around to 1,000 of your closest friends, where you hit that ball way, way, way left. And then you hit that iron about 230 on the green and birdied that hole. That lives in Pharrell infamy. There are very few other opportunities for you to live in Pharrell infamy on the golf course, but that certainly does.
So when we come back, we're going to go through the tech and the sport 5 each. So we have 10 things to discuss, which will be very important. Now that we've gotten all the death and my golf game out of the way and Rick's travels, he's in a hotel tonight. We had trouble getting him on a landline. Carver High went through tremendous rigors to get it done, and he finally accomplished it. Now that we have – excuse me.
Can I guarantee when we start –
this is just awful that you're talking at the same time as me. I'm going to punch you in the face.
I'm sorry. I'll never do it again.
I mean, honestly, like, just wait. I got another segment with you, and I'm going to let you talk the entire time as you're just killing me tonight. I have no idea what's happening, Carver High. I'm going to start drinking again. Jesus. I mean, honestly, Carver High, honestly, is this happening to me?
It is. I lowered him down.
It all started with the Lakers 15-0 run to start the game. All right, Pharrell on the bench. We're talking to Rick Harrow, our sports business aficionado from Harvard. He's very important to us, and we've been friends. He's been doing my show now for 25 years. All right, Rick, tech top 5, Oculus. I talked about it today on Coast to Coast, but I wanted to you to elaborate on it, what they're doing with the NBA deal and what Oculus is. I've been seeing a lot of Oculus on the games and NBA games and sponsorships and everything. Can you tell everybody what that's about?
They're the official reality headset partner of the NBA, WNBA, and the G League, and it's all virtual. And they tipped off the partnership last week. They're going to do things, as you know, on ESPN, ABC, TNT. I've seen them in industry trade booths, and it looks really, really good. You know, the fans continue to be banned from arenas. VR headsets may make the television experience even more interesting, and it is virtual reality, and you don't expect things to happen in real life, but you watch it and you see some things that are more out of a cartoon network, and people can program virtual reality any way they want to. They can even have NBA players playing defense.
Did you see that ABC is going to carry, I guess, some Monday Night Football games on the network for the first time since, I guess, 05 or something like that? It's like it's always been on ESPN these last few years. Did you see that they're going to go back to the network a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. And you know what's going to happen with that? I think it's more of a branding thing, because when you look at the numbers, cable is so prolific these days that it almost doesn't matter that it's on a cable network or ESPN or ABC. It matters a little bit when something's on NBC Sports Network or obviously CBS Sports Network versus the parent, but not so much as ESPN and ABC. It's branding. I think part of the whole situation, too, is, as you know, we talked about it before, is that Hollywood and television studios are not churning out primetime production stuff now because of COVID, like everything else. So everybody is stuck with lack of primetime programming. We predicted that there's going to be more and more sports on prime time, and this is one of those examples.
So with a new tie-up with streaming tech provider Livelike, Turner Sports and the NBA are going to have these private group chats synced to playoff action in the NBA app and on NBA.com starting this week. What's that about?
Yeah, Twitch-like chat experiences will be available on mobile devices and computers. Messages tied to users' in-game timestamps, an effort to prevent the spoilers that can result from viewers watching the games with differing amounts of delay. And the NBA recently teamed with Microsoft to display over 300 fans per game on 17-foot video boards surrounding the Orlando courts. And LiveLike's functionality will give viewers a different shared experience option. So we're looking more and more about how to take the content and apply it at home, not just on normal television and in arenas.
So DoorDash has a huge new deal with the NBA. I know that my kids order from DoorDash all the time. What are they doing with the league?
Well, this is very, very, very important to those of us who don't like to cook. The NBA began its postseason deal with a DoorDash sponsorship, the official on-demand delivery platform, again, NBA, WNBA, and the 2K League. The deal opens a new on-demand delivery platform category for the league. The service is launching a new Food is Life NBA-themed ad campaign as well, including a TV spot. First presenting sponsor of the NBA 2K League playoffs and finals. And by the way, DoorDash earlier in the year announced a multi-year partnership with Richard Petty Motorsports and its driver, Bubba Wallace. And that made Wallace's DoorDash first NASCAR ambassador. What they're doing is the hashtag Play It Forward Challenge, which is really cool, a social media campaign designed to unite communities and encourage fans to support Black-owned restaurants. So not only is it a new category for the NBA, and not only does it emphasize what we do best, which is sloth and having food delivered to our door, but it also is really important in social equality and racial injustice and helping out urban communities as well. It's a win for everybody.
Just in time for the FedEx Cup playoffs, Tiger Woods launched the second season of his video instruction series, My Game, last week. I hope it was better than that course they played on at the Northern Trust where DJ shot 30 under par. Nothing like playing on a mini golf course.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting about that is that they've played before at the TPC course. And it wasn't, the scores were nowhere near that. But then when you look at it and the weather is good and the wind is benign, these guys can gobble up courses. And I guarantee you that no matter what the quality of play is, when somebody wins at 30, 31 under par, people feel like it's a miniature golf course, whether it is or not.
So Riot Games unveiled a new partnership with Universal Music Publishing Group for the upcoming 2020 League of Legends World Championships, which starts September 25th. Apparently, we've lost Rick. I have seen it all now, Carver. Have I not seen it all now? Unbelievable. Oh, God. Kill me. Anyway, so let me just give you an update on the score. In the third, it's worse than ever, 86-53. Now 91-53 with 9 minutes left in the third. I mean, they're obliterating them. They are blowing them out like never before. There's 9 minutes left in the third, and they have 50 points. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable. So, Rick, what I was saying is the Riot Games with the Universal Music Publishing Group, they've cut a bunch of new music for their World Championships, which starts September 25th.
Yeah, and what they're doing is it's the first the event's first in this decade. Six new songs made for the event. Universal Music Group. When music meets and mixes with gaming, it's empowering. They say the 10th League of Legends World Championship, held on September 25, as you said, an example of music and entertainment around esports as well. Listen, get used to it. We're going to see more and more and more of this in the coming days.
Tell me about Gamers Outreach and Soft Giving. What's that about?
It's a deal where there's more opportunity to generate some income. Synopsys Esports is saying that a joint fundraising event will run through early September. Gaming brings communities together. Esports continues to grow in scope, popularity, and profitability. And what they're trying to do is to merge esports with charities for some of the first times. As esports gets more sincere and larger, they're trying to give back. And philanthropy gives back to communities. What they're trying to do is to have both organizations, Gamers Outreach and others, teaming to provide entertainment with families that receive care from nonprofits. It's really a cool idea.
Steph Curry's starting basically a really cool book club, and his series of books for readers will be called Underrated, focusing on stories of people who have broken barriers. He's teaming up with some Nobel Peace Prize winners and others.
Yeah, and what he's doing is he's not just obviously dealing with his on-court expertise, but this is particularly for kids. And users can join any of the celebrities' book clubs and receive a copy of their curator's book choice for the month. We picked this as kind of one of the big philanthropy things because Curry's Club will be entitled Underrated and focused on stories of people who have broken barriers, but a lot of other people are involved in these clubs as well. Book clubs just for kids with heroes and celebrities as part of the role models, a great idea.
So how about the taste of the NFL, which was synonymous with the Super Bowl every year, has gone away? I guess the pandemic ate that up, too.
Pandemic ate it up. Since 1992, every year, that Saturday night before the Super Bowl, every team has some of the celebrity chefs and big-time restaurants in their city. It is a marvelous fundraiser. Frank Sipovitz, who was the Super Bowl guy for the NFL for a long time, a good friend, said it raised $25 million over 29 years and generated over 200 million meals across America. It was one of the best charity things you could possibly do, and the pandemic, as you said, ate it up.
So run, jump, and throw is a huge thing with USA Track and Field, and Hershey's has always been in bed with them, helping kids exercise and learn the importance of it, and track and field is their game, and they've extended that partnership for several more years.
Yeah, hey, look, the deal is, and it's really interesting with Hershey's. Hershey's, what do you associate Hershey's with? Being fat. Well, you shouldn't, because they've decided that it's a chocolate company, but they want to throw their money toward really, really good physical fitness. And the Olympics has been very important to them, especially with USA Track and Field. Because let's remember, track and field, as well as some of the other sports, they don't get a whole lot of endorsement money from a whole lot of people. And Max Siegel, who's their CEO, is excited about Hershey's continuing the long-term commitment, especially during the pandemic. And the idea of Hershey's continuing to stay with the Olympics is a very, very good thing for everybody.
And lastly, how about David Duchovny, what he's doing for that Paralympian swimmer? How cool is that? What's up there?
Rudy Garcia Tolson is the swimmer, the Paralympic swimmer, and he couldn't find anywhere to swim. He would still look for a place to train in Southern California. He's a big deal. He came out of a three-year retirement at age 31 and made the U.S. Paralympic team, and he was stuck in first gear because he really couldn't find a place to train. He was a very significant X-Files fan, and Duchovny is a sincere avid swimmer and triathlete, the guys got together. And yes, now Garcia Tolson trains in Duchovny's training facility, and they're fast friends. And it's really kind of cool as we get ready, by the way, for the Olympics in Tokyo, not just the regular Olympics, but the Paralympics as well.
But I heard that his training, I heard his training facility, and I got 60 seconds, is in his backyard.
Yeah. Well, how about that? It is. It's his house. And so it's a really kind of cool idea. And the U.S. Paralympic team was looking for a place, and David Duchovny said, hey, come over to my backyard. I'll barbecue.
Hey, so lastly, really quick, how do you feel about the Sean McDermott, the coach of the Bills, saying that it's not right that some teams are going to be allowed to have fans in their stadiums and other teams are not in the NFL?
Well, here's how I feel. It's inevitable that someone would say that because we knew this was coming and we knew that there was an opportunity if you have different bubbles, 32 bubbles all over the league, that some people would claim it's a home field advantage. Listen, it's not going to be the same noise as it is if you have 100% of the fans. There are going to be 25% of the fans there. And this is going to be a weird year. So, you know, suck it up and play ball. And a lot of places are going to try to get as many fans as you possibly can. Baseball, remember, said that they would like to think about fans before the end of the season. That ain't going to happen. But at least there's an opportunity here to bring some fans in, and it's all good.
I just can't believe, and I got to go, but I'm mad that the Dolphin cheerleaders won't be on the field this year because I enjoy watching them more than the Dolphins. Rick, thank you. Good stuff. I'll see you next week. Travel safe.
All right, my man. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, Rick Haro, sports business and legal insider from Harvard, on the bench. What do you think of them apples, Garver High? Not good, right?
Yeah, that's not a good scene. Not a good scene at all.
Okay, so, hey, you still think the Blazers are going to get within 10? They're down 94-65.
No.
It was 6.5 left in the third. I stopped watching the game. That's how bad it was. Like, I'm watching Colorado and Dallas. That's it. Hockey. 1-0 Avs. That's what I'm all about tonight, right here. So, coming up in the second hour, we have a legend. Is he coming on the show tonight? We're going to have... coming up in about, I don't know, 14 minutes or so, something like that. We're going to have the legendary Hacksaw Hamilton from San Diego join us on the bench and on the Mightier 1090, which, of course, Hacksaw was on Mighty 690 and Mighty 1090 before it went under, and then now it's back Mightier 1090. Hacksaw is an institution in Southern California sports talk. And not only that, in the NFL as well, because he called a lot of games over the years. We'll talk to Hacksaw Hamilton in the next hour. So I know that, you know, I guess I'll tell him this story, but I used to hear him all the time when I lived in Southern California, right? I think everyone did. Because, and it was weird because, like, I was on that station too, right? I was on Mighty 690 or something like that. Back in the day, I was on 250 stations, right? So the show was syndicated everywhere, and I was on there, and I was on in LA, I was on KLSX, and I was on Extra Sports, 1150, whatever it was. So I used to drive up and listen to Hamilton on the air. I think he's on 3 to 7, and I was on at 7, so I could hear him on the way to work, so I listened to him.